The HBO Max series Made for Love follows a woman named Hazel whose husband wants to get inside her head, literally. He's a tech genius who's already made both of them recluses, but now he's working on a chip that, once implanted in her brain, will allow him to know and see everything she does. Kristen Milioti plays Hazel. She tries to escape his creepy, intrusive grasp. I'm Linda Holmes, and today we're talking about Made for Love on Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR, so don't go away.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Mini Cooper. Mini Cooper invites you to explore the newly redesigned 2022 Mini. It's the most exciting model year yet. You can decide whether you'd like a two-door, four-door, or convertible model. Then choose from an array of bold new paint colors and interior finishes. No matter what you're into, every detail is customizable just the way you want it. Behind the wheel of a Mini, we may all be different, but we're pretty good together. Visit MiniUSA.com to explore the full 2022 lineup.
Welcome back. Joining us from her home in Washington, D.C. is Weekend Edition book editor Barry Hardiman. Hi, Barry.
Hi, Linda.
So Made for Love is based on a 2017 book by Alyssa Nutting, who created the show with Patrick Somerville. He's worked on some similarly out there premises on shows like Maniac and The Leftovers. The showrunner is Christina Lee, who wrote for Search Party. Kristen Milioti's performance really drives this show, but she's joined by Billy Magnuson as her slick and menacing husband, Byron. Noma Dumezweni, who you might have seen recently in The Undoing, as Fiffany, one of Byron's staff members, and Dan Bacadal as another one named Herringbone. Ray Romano plays Hazel's father. This is a dark, dark comedy that's part science fiction, part woman on the run, and part cautionary tale about controlling tech dudes. All 8 episodes are available on HBO Max as of today. Barry, you have read the book on which this is based.
I have. And I loved it.
Yeah. What was your reaction to the show?
So I really like it. I don't adore it. And I wonder if that's because I really adored the novel. There are parts of this that I think are so wonderful, mostly down to these marvelous character actors. Kristen Milioti as Hazel is just a pleasure to watch on screen.
Yeah.
And the menacing husband, Billy Magnuson, he walks away with many of the scenes.
He's so pretty and he's so creepy.
His smile, it makes you think that maybe I should look at my baby smile more closely, because his smile is so cherubic and like amazing, yeah, that you're like, you can't be wrong. But he's really walking that tightrope of menacing and cheerful in this way that I just like, I love.
Yeah. And I also think the world in which they are living, on which he has essentially isolated the two of them, which is his kind of tech campus. Now, mm-hmm, his last name is Gogol, which seems to me like it cannot be an accident.
No, you could switch some vowels if you chose.
So they live on the Gogol campus,
which is basically like a holodeck.
Yes. And it's made up of these cubes that have different environments, mm-hmm, and you sort of have to move from cube to cube. And one of the things that I think he does really well, Billy Magnuson, is that Byron, both in appearance and in performance, he feels like a husband you would find in a virtual reality environment made by a certain kind of dude.
Yeah, like you could order him in a catalog.
Right. Like if the guy who created this space didn't look like that and wasn't like that, he might make himself like that. Do you know what I mean?
100%. There's almost, you can sort of see beneath the surface is the guy he might have been before this,
right,
this blonde suit got zipped up.
And I think one of the things I love about Kristen Milioti is that she can look similarly like she belongs there.
Yes.
She can, you know, when they put her in a gown and she's at a cocktail party, she's very beautiful. She's very kind of elegant, polished. But very quickly, she can make that turn. You know, when she tries to escape, she can be in like red sweats and like, mm-hmm, out with a dirty face and a ponytail. And she has a really different presence when she's like that. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because I interviewed her once about the fact that there came a moment in her career where she sort of was looking at a door opened that would have allowed her to essentially do pretty straightforward romantic comedies and be pretty successful at it. And even though she likes them, she very specifically decided kind of not to pursue that.
To be a weird one. I like it.
Yeah. So she's been doing these kind of oddball roles. And interestingly, you know, she was in Palm Springs with Andy Samberg, which is a movie that I love.
Another science fiction-y.
Exactly, which is also a kind of an offbeat, oddball premise. And one of the things I said to her was that I really enjoy how she plays these women who kind of go from being very pretty and rom-com-y to suddenly being like very grimy and complicated. And I think she's so good at that. I'm not 100% sure that this is a great show, but I think it's a good show.
Yeah.
And she's great in it. I would watch her in this kind of like running from people and like running into weird people and suddenly deciding she has to like...
And picking up dangerous weapons.
Trying to protect herself with a weapon. And like, I love it. And then she gets to see her father, played by Ray Romano. You know, without spoiling too much, you can say that when she gets to her father, she discovers that he is in a relationship with a sex doll who he very much treats like a partner. And it's made him kind of a laughingstock where he lives. He's kind of become a sort of wacky mad scientist type who's always working on different projects. He's also, you know, been in grief for many years because her mother died when she was young. He's also an alcoholic. So there's a tremendous amount going on with him. And I like that performance too.
I think so too. And he's, you know, they both, again, tread this, the comedy to drama really well. In the realm of Kristen Milioti, the way I like to think of her changes is that when she's giving that fake smile at the compound, you don't see all of her teeth. And when you do see all of her teeth, you notice she actually has like one kind of slightly crooked one.
Oh, interesting.
And every time that little tooth made an appearance, I felt like she was winking at us in this funny way.
Yeah.
And that was how the performance was. She does so much behind her eyes and with her mouth and with her face. And Ray Romano is like that too, because he's so much a sitcom dad sort of dude.
Yeah.
It is almost as though the lines beneath his eyes are containing both the laugh lines, but also the grief in this way.
For sure.
That is,
sure,
I think, so interesting. And that relationship with the sex doll and between him and his daughter and her relationship to his relationship with the sex doll, you know, the audience could easily think he was a laughingstock too.
Right.
But he really portrays the tenderness in this way that is just emotionally resonant for something that's so absurd and could be kind of offensive.
It's very tricky to pull off keeping this in the realm of dark comedy, given how upsetting this story really is.
Right.
If you really think about kind of the fact that she's been trapped in this place for 10 years, it's a really, as you said, fine line to walk to keep it from becoming
sleeping with the enemy.
Well, exactly, right? But it's such an interesting study in tone to me. I do want to talk a little bit about some of the supporting cast in this.
Yep.
Dan Bacadal was on Veep as the guy who was always followed around by his tall, gangly assistant.
The disgusting, lewd congressman with the worst language.
And here he plays this kind of like guy who Hazel is unsure exactly who she's dealing with because he's been on Byron's staff for a long time.
If he's a henchman or not, right?
Yeah. And Noma Dumezweni as Fifany, who's this doctor who works, who kind of helped develop this technology that Byron wants to use to be so controlling and is now kind of seeing the potentially dangerous implications of it. That performance I like so much. I would so watch an entire show about Fifany.
No, 100%. Whenever she's on the screen, I feel like she's the only thing I'm watching, which is a hard thing to do with all of these actors who are also portrayed, like doing these character roles in such a charismatic way.
For sure. I love that about it. I love the production design of it. I think the way they handle what the tech looks like is really cool.
Yeah, it looks wonderful. And also the comparison between the tech and this sort of crappy little town and the way that, you know, one of the things that's also very nice in the book and in general when we think about technology, right, is, boy, technology's pretty and clean and makes us feel so good.
Yeah.
But when she gets to her dad's house and the trailer parks and the which is supposed to be sort of gross, but has this really nostalgic, comforting feeling in that way of like.
And that's her refuge.
Exactly. The refuge is the place where you can smell all the bad smells, you know?
Yeah.
And there's something sort of lovely about that.
Yeah, it's definitely a referendum on technologically created utopias.
Yeah. Oh, it's a Black Mirror kind of a situation.
Yeah, for sure. It's one of those shows where I'm super pleased that they made it, even though I don't think it's perfect.
Me too.
I think it's a little, it's got a few things that kind of go in weird directions and drag a little bit. But for the most part, I really enjoyed it. And I think it is so fun to watch again. Really good actors, especially, I have to say, especially Kristen Milioti.
And I think one of the things that's so good about this that is in the book is that this heroine, obviously, you want her to get away from this awful abusive man. But also, she's a mess.
Oh, yeah.
She's been a mess forever. She's, you know, and Alyssa Nutting is the novelist, is really a master at creating difficult, interesting, layered, complex messes of characters. Yeah. And Milioti does this in a way that I think is really masterful. You never really lose sight of the fact, even when she is under the thumb of the terrible husband, that she's kind of a mess. And that is where I think the Black Mirror-ness of it really sort of comes, because it doesn't matter if you are a perfect lady or an imperfect lady, as we all are, you should still not have a chip implanted in your brain by a husband.
I agree. I think we can agree on that fundamental central idea. That is what we have taken away from Made for Love, is that Barry and I are both against having chips implanted in our brain.
Chipless wonders. That's
chipless
us.
All right. Well, we want to know what you think about Made for Love. As I mentioned, all the episodes are now available on HBO Max. Find us at facebook.com/PCHH and on Twitter at PCHH. That brings us to the end of our show. Barry, it is always so wonderful to have you. Thank you for being here with me.
Thank you for inviting me.
And of course, thank you for listening to Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR. If you have a second, subscribe to our newsletter. It's over at npr.org/popculturenewsletter. We will see you all tomorrow when, oh boy, we will be talking about Legally Blonde.
If you're into science, but you need a break from the coronavirus, NPR Shortwave has your back. Whether we're talking about how scientists measure Mount Everest or spiders that hang out underwater, we promise you'll have fun and learn something. Subscribe to Shortwave, the daily science podcast from NPR.